Hello and welcome to Techlandia. How are you doing today? It's John Samuelson on Super Bowl Sunday, Portland, Oregon, where we kind of watched the Super Bowl. I think I kind of watched the Super Bowl. I was kind of interested, not really. I know that I only beat one person in our Super Bowl fantasy football this year, and that person is in SoCal, and his name is...
Was it me? I didn't even pay attention, John.
You finished last.
Tim Bedley. Out of how many? Four people? Just kidding.
Out of four people. That's correct. Four. You finished fourth. You were in third place. I was in fourth. I tried for the strong comeback and quadruple points in the Super Bowl, and it just didn't matter.
I'll put me in a fantasy baseball league. I'll crush it.
Oh, I bet you would. I bet you would. I would.
Just think I would kind of. Mike Trout in the audience at Super Bowl tonight.
Saw that.
Enjoying his Eagles team and victory. Yeah.
Yeah. Look at that. Trouty. Anyway, how do we always start off on sports? And Jenks is not happy with us when we start off with sports.
John, it's Super Bowl Sunday, bro. Okay, the Super Bowl. How do we not? That's like, how do you not start off with Bitcoin taking a just big drop?
Yeah, well, when you don't have any money, it's easy to not even. So anyway,
you didn't invest in Bitcoin.
That's right. I didn't invest in Bitcoin. I did invest in this over the weekend. For the TV viewers, it's Lego Series 2 Batman figures. I invested in a few, and we got pretty good. We only got two doubles out of 13. Here's a little Batgirl with surfboard. Kind of cool.
Very cool. Very cool.
It is. We didn't get I wanted one with a dolphin, but I couldn't get the dolphin one. Somebody had already picked through those. She hate when people pick through the Lego figures. Little middle. You have to kind of feel.
Who doesn't want packages. One with a dolphin, though?
I know. Well, if a dolphin's the prop, I totally want that one.
That's gosh, right. Darn it.
I should have looked through them. Mm-hmm. They were like totally picked through at Fred Meyer.
It'll be all right. Amazon,
well, anyway. I know. I'll just have to go in and cash them in at Lego Bricks and Minifigs. I'll pay a premium. I'll have to pay double for it or something. Whole $8. Anyway. Hey, it's the grumpy, it's my favorite month, Scott, February. February, my favorite month of the year. That is sarcasm. I hate February.
John, I really like February, actually, because my favorite day is this Wednesday, the first Wednesday of February. Every first Wednesday of February, John, it's global school
play day.
Yes. Over, John,
over how
first
many
of all,
people?
Can I say something? Because I went off on this on Facebook, and I never say stuff on Facebook, but we all of us who have a voice need to stand up against the pressure that kids are under, that's sending them to make choices, to do things like end their lives. And I'm getting really serious right here, John, but if we don't stand up and start saying things, like, I just don't understand why more educators who have platforms, who have voices, who have the means to share out there are not standing up for all the wrong things that are happening in education. And I'm not saying that it's all teachers' faults or something crazy like that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we have to start standing up to universities or whoever and saying, like, the pressure has to stop. You know, a little pressure is good, but a lot just crushes people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I read your post. I mean, I read what you said about the post, and then I read the article that was shared about the young boy that he was right over by you, right? That took his own life. He was right over, mm-hmm. right over from Irvine. And
20 minutes from me. 20 minutes from and me. Maybe 15.
Yeah, I read the letters.
Sean Zebarth's brother teaches. Chris teaches at that school. It's happened in my district. It's happened in districts in Northern. It's happening more often than it's getting reported on.
Right. Why aren't more people understanding that all this pressure for standardized testing? I mean, it gets to the teachers. It's obviously going to filter down to the students. I mean, we're stupid if we don't think that even when I used to teach fourth grade, that those kids don't feel the pressure that, like, I feel because some silly test dictated by how they feel when they get up that day. I'm actually going to, you know that, speaking of silly things, do you know that my sixth grade son that has autism and operates probably about a second or third grade level, depending on what day he, what, how he wakes up, they're making him take the SBAC test. He is not even getting any accommodations whatsoever. He's taking the sixth grade SBAC test. Well, of course I'm going to opt out, but they told me that they're like, he doesn't really get any accommodations or anything. So yeah, of course I'm going to opt him out. That's the dumbest thing ever. If I wanted to set my son off and make him even more frustrated than he is. But yeah, so I'm opting him out, but I just thought it, they're like, they told me that today. They're like, he doesn't get his, you know, cause it's the whole elementary to middle school now. And I'm like, wow.
John, we just had our most recent Medley Brothers. We just had Dr. Daniel Koretz of Harvard University, who just recently released his book, The Testing Charade. And it goes into all of this. It goes into, I mean, and this guy, he's awesome. He's awesome, first of all. But he really details why standardized testing is so unhealthy and is so false at showing actual progress and gap closing. And it's just a really amazing book that, you know, if you're a reader, go out and check that book out, because it's going to change your thoughts if you don't already feel this way about standardized testing.
The educational book, huh?
Don't get me started on
the educational books, Scott. I'm already in trouble today for the educational book thing that I said. But no, I understand.
It's a book from a Harvard professor, John.
I know. You guys get Harvard professors on the Medley Brothers. It still amazes me. How do you guys do it? I don't know. You and Tim Medley is amazing at getting all those guests for you, because I don't know how he does it. It's not you. You can't be getting those
guests. I just almost spit water out of my mouth, John.
I was trying to make you spit water out of your mouth on that one. So anyway, if you don't know how the Medley Brothers work, Tim is the editor and putter-upper of the podcast. Scott is the organizer of the guests. But I'm sure, but we're not saying Tim, of course, has input on what, but yeah, Scott's the person that has to try and find them, right? How do you begin to flag down a Harvard professor? Do you just reach out to him on Twitter? Is that how you do it?
Well, I mean, the whole reason we bring anybody on our show is because we feel like they're going to have a voice that impacts what an actual classroom teacher is doing. And the whole reason we started doing that is because so many classroom teachers, us included, don't have time to go to conferences, don't have the money, don't have, you know, we don't want to leave our families for as often times as you see a lot of people going to conferences. I'm like, really? Your family doesn't miss you? You're gone so much. But, you know, it was more a sense to say, hey, we want to bring what's relevant and research-based to classroom teachers that can't get out. And so that's how we pick our guests. We look around and say, hey, who's talking about something that's relevant? Who's talking about something that can really impact students directly? And then how do we bring them on to share and amplify their voice to our audience? You know, I mean, we're no Ellen for sure, but we're no Techlandia for sure, but we're just trying to
share. We don't know what Techlandia even is, right?
we're trying to share, like, you know, people like that who need to be heard, that can kind of get buried in all the noise of all the other education writing that's out there, John.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I got buried. Did you hear I got buried today? I was getting buried in notifications today. I don't think I even tweeted this weekend, Scott, to be quite honest with you. I think I tweeted once on Friday, and I answered a George Kuros question, and it got me so much.
On the Twitters?
On the Twitters, right? I answered George Kuros' question, and eventually I think and a couple of people saw it.
So George put out a question.
So George's question was, who is
George Kuros, right?
Yes, I'm sorry. Not Alec Kuros, the really, really smart one. George, the kind of smart one, right? So anyway, of the Kuros brothers.
I think the head of EdTech calendar.
It's kind of like you and Tim, right? So there's you, the kind of okay one, and then there's Tim, the really smart one, right? Is that it? You're like the George Kuros of the Medley Brothers.
Without any Twitter followers or any, like...
Right, yeah. Just without the Twitter book.
Oh, gosh. Just without the voice and the Twitter followers. That's, That's a horrible analogy and probably pretty accurate.
But no, so anyway, we're just kidding. George Kuros, George Kuros. And so his tweet was, I don't know. I mean, they have the algorithm set up so poorly now on the Twitters. It's hard. I wish I just got like the tweets in real time and they could forget their algorithm. I don't know why they're trying to go all Zuckerberg on us. But so anyway, so George says, who is an educator that hasn't written a book that you wish they did? And so what do you think my answer was, Scott?
I was going to say me, but I've written a book.
Right. So no, I wasn't even thoughtful with it. I was late at night and I was just like, I wish everyone would stop writing books and start taking care of their own classroom, school, or district. Then education would be in a better place. That's all I said. And boy, and that was like, so you 2 days like earlier.
I wish that so-and-so would not write books. You just said you wish people would not write books and take care of their classroom yeah. or school or district. You didn't like call anyone out by name, John, right?
No, that was, I just read you that was my exact answer. That's okay. A verbatim exact answer, right?
Gotcha.
So then there's this cool guy, Jimmy Sapia, it looks like. I didn't really ever engage with him before, and he kind of like agreed with me, right? And he's like, feeling like we're in this age of Twitter celebrities, all I've been seeing is promotion of books and promoting other friends' books. I'm all for educators writing. I learn and grow from it, but our main focus is kids. Anything wrong with that quote, Scott?
No, I 1,000% agree that our main focus is kids.
Right. So he's basically kind of agreeing with me. And I said, it's funny. I redid my tweet a little bit, but that was the verbatim one I wrote. So then I responded to him and just said, yeah, it's funny. I had Edufamous in my reply, but edited it. There are a lot of people writing books I don't even think have solved their classroom or school problems. I agree, if all the edu authors have it all figured out, it isn't translating to systemic change. This is kind of where we've always been going with this, Scott, right? We've been like, why are people with voices, it kind of comes full circle now, why are people with voices not making the changes that we need to? Like, if you have a good voice then, like if you're a George Kuros has a huge audience. George Kuros goes and speaks to thousands of administrators, I'm sure, if not hundreds, like per month. And right, and he came into our district and he did a good job. He shook up our ones, but it was mostly talking about Twitter. Why are we not, why can't we shake up some more? And you asked George what to do, and I'm not saying it as a criticism of George, but why are these books all coming out? And it just seems like, I don't know, we know a few of the people that are writing these books, Scott, and I could name names if I wanted to, but it's not Hop Sings. This isn't Seinfeld. This is not, I'm not Elaine Bennis. So I'm not naming names, but I would have had to have known these people and worked with them at some point. These people are not, they're writing books, and they're not writing books for the reason of they want to share their ideas or they want a voice. They're writing their books because they want a voice, they want to make money, they want to be edufamous, is where I'm going with this. I have no problem with a person wanting to share their voice or share some ideas. That's why Twitter used to be awesome. People used to like share and say like, here's a cool idea that I tried out. What do you think about this? Or they could ask questions and get answers. And now it's just like the person that tweets the most wins. That's what I feel like it is. The person that tweets the most about their book wins. And I don't know, Scott, it just seems funny that it's like, I was just watching the Super Bowl. I had like 75 notifications in my feed for this and that. And then this person's getting offended and that person. I'm like, I'm not really saying all teachers that do this are like that. I'm just saying some of the ones that I know.
No, you could never say that because I think both you and I could name several people that are using their platform to try to make a stand against some of these things that are not healthy for kids. Like there is not ever a blanket statement that would be fair.
Right. I wasn't trying to make a blanket statement. My statement, what I just said, my no, statement
was you're answering a question.
I was answering
specific about who would you want to see write a book?
And I, you know,
there was no one.
There's nobody. Nothing. I don't. There's too many books out there right now. Everybody's writing a book. Here's another one. I can even take it a step further with educational technology, since that's the field that I'm in right now. I think that right now, February, what is it, 3rd, 4th? February 4th. I feel like all educational technology conferences should take 1 year off starting right now. And I'm talking about all of them. And that's a blanket
statement. Where we're going to go hang out this summer.
No, I mean, ISTE too. All of it, right? We'll just go and hang out in Chicago.
John, I finally get to be on like a session at ISTE and you're going to want to cancel it? Thanks a lot, man.
But right, I'm just saying, I feel like there's some validity in canceling all ed tech conferences. I feel like there's nothing is the newest thing out there, Scott, is the newest sensation Flipgrid out there. You know what? I can figure out Flipgrid. That's what makes it a good tool. I can go, here, press the video button. Hi, I'm John Samuelson. I think that this book is great or this book stinks because blah, 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 blah. Hit, send it to the board and there it is.
By the way, John, my class is going to be podcasting a play performance musical. And we did auditions for the part using Flipgrid.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. See, now that's cool. But that's about the only thing that I've seen right now where it seems like it's really catching on. I feel like, you know, we absolutely love Seesaw in our district. And I think that Seesaw is cool for a lot of things. I feel it's Seesaw. And I mean, we love Seesaw, right? And so, I mean, I feel like there's good things out there, but I feel like we really need to give teachers, there's nothing new coming out. The EdTech conferences used to be like, how do I go to one-to-one Chromebooks? Well, I feel like in our district, we're kind of there now. We've gotten the device. I feel like a lot of people have the devices now. So now, are people really doing cool things and innovating with them? Or are they just doing digital worksheets with them, right? And then that's the thing. And yeah, there's a lot of people I support for as far as books go. Number one, we'll put up Tara Linney, who we had on, you know, the Steam Team podcast. And we talked about her and I backed her Kickstarter for her book, which was Achieving Gender Equity in Teaching Coding. I think that's a cool subject. I don't feel like everybody's doing that. I have that one that's there. You know, also I have, you know, Shelly Terrell wrote that book, Hacking Digital Learning Strategies. She actually interviewed me and I'm in the book for a little bit. So obviously I'm not against educational books. I was very honored to be in the book. She even interviewed me on her podcast. It was nice. Those things are cool, right? I'm not against people having a voice, but it does seem like the people that were attacking me were white males. And the two people that I just mentioned aren't white males. So those are people I support. Do I always have to support white males because I'm a white male? I know I'm a white male. White males, I don't know. I feel like you got to start calling them on their stuff right now. And that includes me. Nobody ever wastes their time calling me to the carpet. So it's like, it's just so funny. I think this Twitter stuff is hilarious. It's the first time I've been on Twitter where a tweet actually got some response from something. Meanwhile, I've tweeted some great, great tweets, I think, like musical tweets. How about that one, Scott? Did you ever see I showed you that tweet, right, with that band that used the 7-second delay on Facebook Live and they did their song and they looped it? That's one of the best videos ever. I don't know why that doesn't get way more plays. That's a great tweet right there. That song, right?
Yeah, John.
But then you'd say, oh, I don't want any more educational books, and everybody loses their minds. I think it's wrong. quit losing your minds, people. I'm not saying you can't have a voice. I'm not saying you can't write a book. I'm just saying, do I want to see write a book? Nobody. I don't want to see anybody write a book right now.
I'm just going to say this, John. Who cares what you say? And I don't mean this in a rude way.
No, right. Who cares? Nobody listens.
It's your opinion. It's your opinion. Like, that's what that question was, is what's your opinion on who might be
Yeah, it's funny. Who cares? Right. I feel like by the people sitting there crabbing about stuff, they were giving it more play. If you would have just been quiet about it, then, you know, then people are like, oh, you're talking about me. It reminds me of the Portlandia skit where in the last season of Portlandia, Fred says to Carrie, like, we're finally making you a partner at the law firm or whatever. And then she starts giving her speech. She's like, talking about the sexism and things like that. And he goes, now you're not talking about me, are you? You're not talking about me, right? She's like, no, you're good. You're good. And then everybody starts, like, you know, nobody wants to take credit for everything. I'm like, we're all part of the problem. We're all co-conspirators, me included. I wish people would start with a voice, would start going back to what we were saying before, would start challenging the system. You know what? There's a bunch of people that could get together. You have power if you're a principal of a school. You have power. You can choose to be bogged down with little things, little initiatives from your district, or you could choose to find another principal, band together and say, no, we're not going to do this. When we interviewed on Techlandia back in the day, when we still had Kurt and Allison Scott, we interviewed Mary Ann Whitaker. I still remember her name from Texas, who said, she's just a administrator, a superintendent of a small town in Texas, Scott. But what she said was, and she needed so much help to get on the Google Hangout for us to interview her. But she said, I'm not caring about tests anymore. We are not putting up banners for this is this kind of a school. We are just going to try and focus on the kids. One administrator I've run across, one superintendent so far that had that message. Why can't the superintendent of the district next door go, you know what? You're right. You're darn right, Mary Ann Whitaker. I still remember her name. I only talked to her one time in my life. I remember that podcast. It's like that lady, we should be lifting her up. And instead we don't, because she barely knows how to use a Google Hangout, even with her tech guys helping her. It was the hardest thing to get her on that spot. But I don't know. I don't know. People, take a stand. Take a stand against something. Try and change things. They're not going great. Try and change things, right? Wherever you are. Scott, you can change your classroom.
And I can change my classroom, and I do. And I can, I try to do what I can, John. I'm not perfect. I can get better. I know I can get better and do more.
Yes.
But I'm going to do it. But I am. I'm also doing stuff.
Right. You're doing stuff. Scott Bedley could write a book of cool things that you're doing to innovate your classroom. And the funny thing is, you think that you're not very good at all the stuff that you do. And you're very, critical, self-critical and whatever. And you're like, oh, I'm not a tech person or whatever. Meanwhile, you're probably going to, first of all, you never take credit for it, but you're one of the main people behind Global School Play Day, which is a way that a teacher has decided with a bunch of other teachers and administrators in your area, right? You guys all got together and you kind of organized and you talked about it and you're like, okay, you know what? And it was from a Bedley Brothers podcast. You guys were like, you know what? We're sick of this. People need to quit being so serious with time in their school day. There are some great things you can do with unstructured play. Kids need to learn how to play, and they don't get that as much anymore. And when we were kids, we got that a little bit. I felt like we got recess all the time. And then you go all the way now where they're like, oh, well, that's a waste of time. It's not a waste of time for kids to play together. So there you go. John, I'm giving you props for that.
But it is just like taking a step and doing something. There's a lot of talking and not doing. And that's kind of, to me, what you're saying is that there's enough books out there that are talking. We need more action.
We need action. Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. We need more action. We need more people willing to take a bullet for something. And if the bullet that I have to take is, I said, what, on Twitter 48 hours ago when I was really tired and said, I don't want any more authors writing books. What I'm really saying is, yes, I would like to see some action on stuff. I don't want any more ed tech conferences for a year. I know that's not practical, but really we need more people having some action steps and doing some cool stuff. You know, here's the move, Scott. Ready? Here's the move for conferences. The move is, I don't think Ryan O'Donnell was that far off last year when he had his little barbecue backyard picnic thing. The move is, we get a house on the Oregon coast and we rent it for like 4 days. Big old nice house on where you'd want to take your family for a vacation. We invite like 10 people and then we go, okay, this is what we're going to do. And we just sit down for like a day and we just brainstorm stuff. We brainstorm solutions or come up with cool lessons or whatever we do, or how are we going to get computer science to,
we've been talking to Ruben Hoffman about doing that for years.
I know, and it's still the way to go. Why do we have to limit it to, like, that's all to me ISTE is anymore, except for last year, where I feel like there were some really good, I saw some really good people last year, but I feel like Mitch Resnick doesn't do ISTE every year. I feel like he was trying to, you know, promote the new Scratch, which is out by now, by the way. If you want to test out Scratch on your iPad, you can test out real Scratch on your iPads.
Oh, nice, John.
Did you know that?
Is it free for all?
Oh, yeah. It's normal. You can start. It went from alpha to beta now. I'll tell you what it is in a second. Let me look. Because I think it's just preview.scratch.mitu.edu. And okay, if you go there on an iPad, is it there? And so anyway, you can do like some of those things. Like let's see. Is it there? It is
preview. You can do things. And you can start things, and you don't need to be, and you don't even need to be one of these bigger voices in education. I mean, I'm certainly not, John. And when Eric Sabel and Tim and Misty and Oliver and I and Bethany got together and did Global School Play Day, we never thought in the fourth year we'd have 58 nations now, over 300, almost 330,000 kids around the world. Like joining in this just from tweets and Facebook posts, like literally that's all we've done.
Yeah.
And yet somehow this thing is, you know, somehow people in Vietnam and Cambodia and the United Arab Emirates and Taiwan and Malaysia and Latvia and Bangladesh and Indonesia, somehow South Africa, somehow Australia, Canada, somehow all of these people see the value and are on it.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
And that's the thing, right? I mean, it doesn't take much. You buy a domain, you get a website. It's not very costly. You get
John,
some people.
We're not trying to make money. We're not trying to, this is not about us.
Right.
This is about something that needed to change in education and doing something about it. Not saying, how can I angle it for myself?
Right, because you guys really don't take, that's why we'll give you credit right now. You guys really don't take credit. You don't even have your names or do you have even your faces on the website? If you have to look
no
back
faces.
For it, you
I,
don't.
I think
you?
Our names are like down in small writing at the very bottom of everything else. We're not, you know, we're not trying to promote ourselves. It's not about that. It's not about,
right.
I don't know.
But I feel like some people, I feel like if some people did that, what they would do is, they would be like, they're like, oh, you know what? We've done this. Now we're going to write a book about how we've transformed and we've gotten all these people on. And right, so you had 283,000 people last year. And now you're going to have 330 and probably more as people come on, you know, probably over 350. And you're going to 1,000 students and people are going to be like, how can I angle this for like, oh, I'm going to give an inspirational talk or I want to be the closing keynote now because I'm going to do this. I feel like there's people out there who have bad intentions like that, and they're not really doing it for the right reasons. They're doing it for selfish reasons. I don't feel like they're really doing it for kids. They're like, how can I angle this story so I can become a keynote speaker and make money, right? And you guys just don't do that. So we'll give you credit right now for Global School Play Day because that's coming up, and I will put this podcast out tonight. And then
but John, it really is about all the people. It's about all the people.
All the people working together.
Stepped up into leadership, like all the people that have stepped up into leadership to make it happen. It's not that we made it happen. It's that we just saw a need and we tried to change that, and people jumped on with that. That's it. Doesn't have to. We didn't have to go, let's write a book, and so we can make change in education. Like, it just doesn't need to happen that way.
No, it doesn't. It's like.
These grassroots, not like a false grassroots effort to get a Twitter chat going, but a grassroots effort to actually make a difference for kids.
Right. You don't have to put on your little Twitter bio, you know, Alaska EdChat founder, Oregon EdChat founder, right? You can do things. Just do something, right?
I gotta go change my Twitter bio.
Yeah, go change your Twitter bio to Global School Play Day Mastermind. Anyway, so
I think we're excited for that. I better change that before you get mad at me. I don't have hardly anyone's following me anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, and they don't know which account to follow anyway, right? I mean, if you added up all the followers from all your different 7 accounts, you'd have at least 2,000 followers. No, you'd have more.
It's so unimportant to me, John. I mean, if people want to follow me, I put out stuff when I can. When I find something important, I'll tweet at it. But it's not a thing for me. I know some people, it's a thing and they want to have it and it's like their game. And if they have a bunch of followers, and they feel good. But yeah, you know, it's just not my thing.
It's not my thing. It used to be my thing. I don't know.
You got like 16,000 followers. It doesn't have to be your thing.
I grew up. And 16,000 followers. And my first tweet that got any kind of play in since I've moved to Oregon in the last 4 years was, I don't think educators should write books anymore. And I said it to George Kuros, and that got everybody a flutter. Goodness gracious, people. Come on, man. You're missing the bigger picture. The bigger picture is, let's do something. I'm like, get together with some smart people and make something happen. Do something. Do something.
Do something positive.
Organize an after-school club.
Yeah.
It's right. Why let them have all the fun?
If schools in Pakistan are doing play day, why aren't you doing play day?
Right. Play a little bit.
Saudi Arabia, you too. Do it.
Yeah.
If it's happening in Kuwait, and it is, and United Arab Emirates, and why aren't you doing it? There's no excuse.
Just for an hour. Although if you do it longer, I heard you get a badge.
You not only get a badge, but you really do see a big difference in how the kids are impacted by it in a positive way by the day. All day long is, to me, the only way to go, but If you got an hour, give an hour.
That's right. That's good. That's good enough. Well, so anyway, that's interesting. And by the way, if you do want to see Scratch on your iPad for the first time as HTML5 and not as Flash, go to preview.scratch.mit.edu. So just put preview in front of your normal Scratch site and you can start to see what they're going to do. And they're going to keep updating it as it goes. There'll probably be way more sprites and things like that. Sorry to go all Steam team on you, but you know, that's just where my mind is at. I'm always thinking.
Everybody loves a good sprite or two. So
that's right. I mean, good sprites, bad sprites, whatever. You know what I was learning about a lot, just talking about that is.
You never love Sprite?
LeBron Tim James. Bedley. Oh, really? Well, that's almost the same. LeBron James, Tim Bedley, they're almost the same person.
Same stature.
Yeah, same workout ethic, right? Same diet.
Yeah, I mean, Tim is going on the Tom Brady diet. I don't know if he'll change after the Super Bowl loss.
But he's full Nick vegan. Foles diet.
Yeah, he's full. Maybe. Wow, that guy stepped into it, huh?
Yeah, did you know, did I tell you that I saw him play in high school, the high school state championship game, which he did not win, he lost. And it was a horrible call, but he was the quarterback for my old school district's high school football team.
Ames?
So there you go. Yeah, in Ames, Westlake. He was a Westlake High School graduate. So I actually saw Nick Foles play in the state championship game a bunch of years ago.
Is that the same place where iPad Palooza was born, John?
That is birthplace of iPad Palooza, right? Very good. You're right. In fact, it sounds
like Lollapalooza.
It does sound a lot like Lollapalooza. There, but that it's an idea, right? They tried an idea. That's good for them. That's what we're saying. Try an idea. Now I feel like they. I don't feel like they it's do like, iPad like Palooza anymore.
Dog Sarah Jessica Barker.
I think that's a great name for a dog. But I used that name, John.
You can't get it out of your head, huh?
No, it's great.
Sarah Jessica Barker.
Did you just come up with that, or?
Oh no, I totally stole it.
Okay. So I reconnected with my old people. They wanted a Flipgrid video for one of my old school districts. So I actually got up in the morning and I tried to look at, well, I mean, I can't really look more disheveled than I look now, but I did. I looked more disheveled and I made a video real quick at like 7 in the morning because I made a different one But my old boss thought it was too hostile or whatever. So he censored me on the Flipgrid and took it off and then said, you can make another one if you're not making fun of people so much. And I was like, okay, then I'll make fun of myself. Thanks. And so I did. I just looked horrible.
You're pretty good at making fun of other people, John. I'm just going
to. I know. What's wrong with me? I'm such an evil person, I guess, right? I guess these people, I mean, I don't know.
You made me cry on six occasions.
Have I made you cry? You were just watching This Is Us. That's all you were doing. Which is supposedly is the greatest show ever that I've never seen or know nothing about.
And I just finished the one about a boy. What's that movie called?
Boyhood? Boyhood. So, Jake Duncan was voxing me the other day, and Jake Duncan is a very, very good ed tech person. Jake Duncan is really concerned with why you're not watching Boyhood. He thinks there's really something wrong with you. And then he's like, why would he not watch that movie? It's a great movie. And I just said, no, he just thinks it's too long, right? It's like 2.5 hours. And
Scott, I don't watch it. You know what movies I watch? None.
No. Yeah. They offered me a free movie when I switched over cable providers. And I'm like, oh, what would I want? I don't know.
I cancel cable. Like, peace out, cable.
Well, remember, I was going to cancel my cable, but then they were like, we'll pay your Amazon Prime free for a year and blah, 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 blah. And I was I was like, so they paid for my Amazon Prime, and then they gave me free installation, which was another $75, and then they only charged me $35 a month. So I was like,
wow.
Okay, right? They paid for basically my first 6 months of cable. So I was like, okay. I can pay for a half a year of cable and see if I like it or not.
Yeah, then just cancel.
Right. Hopefully. But you know me, I'll forget.
Oh, that's why you set up calendars.
That's right. I'll set up my new calendar reminder. Anyway, so what else we got? Is that it? I really want to put this episode up. We want people to go to Global School Play Day. Scott?
Yes.
Recap of Global School. Are you working with a teacher in my school district, you said? You're working with Kruger?
We're going to connect our classes tomorrow.
On Skype?
We're going to have a plan together and share about what ideas the kids have for their Global School Play Day, because it's about them planning it. It's not about teachers setting it up. And then after Global School Play Day, we'll get back together and we'll reflect on how our days went and what they each learned about it. And should be awesome, man. I've done it before with a class in Canada and another class in, what was the other class, like Minnesota or something like that. And it's great. It's fantastic. Yeah, I'm a super.
So you're going to do that tomorrow?
We're connecting tomorrow. I'm connecting my class with a couple of classes tomorrow to kind of talk about what our Global School Play Day is going to look like.
Oh, wow. So what time are you doing Beaverton?
Like 1:15.
Okay, maybe Pacific I'll go over time. There. Maybe I'll go over there and tape it or something. Kruger, she keeps trying to borrow my stuff from me. She's one of those teachers. She's great, but she's like trying to get me to borrow my stuff, and I'm like, it's my personal stuff. Come on, man. Stop motion kit.
Can I borrow that, John?
Now she's tricked me, because now I'll go and tape you guys while you do that, and now I'm bringing it down to her because she's been bugging me for it for a while. She's really cool, but yeah, she's always
So we're gonna connect tomorrow. Person.
That's cool. So Global School Play Day is Wednesday. We will put this podcast up on a Sunday night, which will actually be Monday morning pretty much for the rest of the world.
Right.
So we'll put this. So you still have, if you listen to this right away, and at least 7 people listen to this right away on Monday. Right, Scott? You think at least
14. Yeah, they have a chance. Sign up. Even if they just do it and register after, it doesn't really matter. We just want to know how many people are actually participating. We're excited. We have some partnerships and some people reaching out that have a lot bigger stretch that want to start participating in it. We'll probably announce that pretty soon. But it's just exciting to see that there's so many teachers from around the world and principals and administrators and people that really believe in this thing that we're trying to do for kids. And John, 327,000. I mean, we're talking 15,000 classrooms that are probably doing this. And I'm guessing like it's going to get to 350 at least by Wednesday, maybe more, maybe 375, who knows. It's already at almost 3:30 right now. So that means it's gone up since, you know, and then it lasts 2 days, like almost 30,000. So I think we could easily be at close to 100,000 more than last year, which has been our growth. So every year, 100,000 more kids participating, which is fantastic. We wish it was a million, but, you know, hey, listen, it's awesome how many kids are actually going to be involved with this.
I got a fortune cookie today, and it said something like, be patient and good things will happen. I think that was literally what the fortune cookie said. And I was like, that's when I got on Twitter and saw that I had 76 notifications. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so lose my patience.
Twitter will happen.
There wasn't really anybody that said anything that really changed my way of thinking, to be honest with you.
I do want to call out two states, John. There are two states that do not have any registrants. Still, two states.
Okay.
Do you want to take a guess at them, the states?
Sure, I would like to take a guess. Give me a region. Okay.
They're kind of in the Midwest-ish area.
Nebraska.
Nebraska's one. Yeah.
Okay. I can get Nebraska.
Nebraska has no schools participating in global school play.
Okay.
58 nations, no Nebraska.
Okay, I can get you Nebraska. I'm gonna hook you up on Nebraska. I'm gonna do some magic after the show. I bet you I can get you Nebraska. Okay. So am I going to the east or to the west of Nebraska now?
Well, I can't, it's close to Nebraska. That's all.
Okay. So it's South Dakota. South Dakota.
No, South Dakota. No, they're participating.
North Dakota, Wyoming.
We got them. A lot of friends out in Kansas.
Iowa?
Not Iowa. A lot of friends in Iowa too, John.
Oh, okay. All right. So I'm missing it. It's not like Rhode Island or someplace, huh?
Well, it's a place that Marnie probably knows a little bit about.
Oh, it's Idaho?
No.
Utah. Utah has nobody?
Yes. Utah has nobody, John.
Oh, my goodness. That's terrible. It's Nebraska and Utah. Those are like roots there.
Last year, I think it was like West Virginia and like Delaware.
Oh, I could see those because they're smaller states.
Yeah, but one school? Like, come on.
Okay.
Somebody's got to be on Twitter from those.
Okay.
Wait a second. I think we might have a Nebraska that just registered.
See, I told you. I was doing that while you were talking.
We just, and I'm not even kidding, John.
Yeah.
Valerie. Maybe I shouldn't read her name out loud.
Okay, Dad.
Bryant Elementary School just registered in Kearney, Nebraska.
Kearney, Nebraska.
It's spelled Kearney, though, right? K-E-A-R. Kearney, Nebraska. That's our first school. So now we're just down to Utah.
Okay, we can get Utah.
I can't believe we just got it. We've got schools in Dubai. We've got schools in Cambodia. We've got schools in Ho Chi Minh City, like,
right,
and no Utah.
Utah's still suffering a little bit. Utah's still suffering a little bit because they're still kind of reeling. I just saw Book of Mormon the other day, and I know why now. They're reeling a little bit from Book of Mormon, the play, and how successful it's been.
It's been so long.
I will try and circumvent that. And I feel like I know some teachers in Utah.
All right, we'll make it happen.
I feel like I'm going to. I feel like right now I'm going to call out. I'm going to call out the person. Okay,
call them out.
I'm going to reach. I know somebody that is down in the southern part of Utah, kind of close to the Nevada border, and I went to Pi Academy with him. I'm going to reach out to him right now, and I'm going to get you Utah before morn.
Wow, I hope.
I mean, I'll get it to you tomorrow, not before morn. That sounds stupid.
I mean, the fact that we went through over 300,000, 327,750 registrants before we got anyone from Nebraska was like,
well, you know, Josh Allen,
good people in Nebraska,
Josh Allen from the Dads and Ed podcast. I mean, he used to be in Nebraska, but now he teaches in Iowa. Yeah. So that's why, or else we could get you that. Christina Peters not there anymore.
Huh?
Working in Washington, right? There's some good Nebraska people.
There definitely are.
There are.
Now there's one more good Nebraska person.
My cousin's a teacher in Nebraska. My only cousin. Should reach out to her. All right. So anyway, I feel like it'll be successful. I feel like I will get this podcast up. We feel like we're way under an hour, which is good for us. Maybe people could actually listen to it.
That's huge.
That's huge. And I still stand by my statement on Twitter. I do not apologize for saying I do not want any more educational books. I'm going to substitute. I want educational action, not educational books. How about that for now? And that'll be good enough. And like I said, I've supported some authors just this year and helped them out. Just not white guys. Sorry, white guys. Sorry if you're offended, white guys, that I don't want to have any more white guys write some books. Sorry about that. You know, I'm like, I feel like we've got enough white guy voices. We're two white guys. Right? I don't know. We've got voices. Yeah. We're on this podcast, right? I mean, we can't help it. I was born this way. But I don't know. I don't look to support other white guys. Right now, I'm not into that. I want other people to have a voice besides just white guys.
I think it's important to have a broad perspective and what happens in education, because there's always a better contribution than in that single vision.
That single lens. It's like we get that lens all the time. And I may sound like I'm being funny. I'm really not being funny. I'm being actually really serious. If we start up Techlandia again and we start interviewing people, I'm looking for people. And you know what? This is an open call right now, because I don't have the Scott Bedley reach of getting like cool Harvard professors that have written awesome books about the horrors of standardized testing. But I'm sitting here in Portland, I'm going to give right now, if anybody is still listening to this, I will give you an open call. If you are an educator doing something cool and you're not looking for edgy fame, you just like to highlight the cool work you do with students, you let me know on Twitter and I will do it. And if you're not a white guy, even better. Even better. But right, because we're white guys, we know our perspective and you get all the time. But I'm going to give an open call right now. We're going to start up Techlandia. I'm not going to interview edgy famous people. We are going to go for people that are genuinely doing good work in the classroom. So if you're one of those people, you've got something cool, you just want to talk about it, let us know. We're down. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Scott won't be on there because when Scott does that show, he does it with his brother Tim, and it's a real podcast called The Bedley Brothers. When I do it, it could be called anything. We don't know. And you don't know who else is going to host it with me, but hopefully it's not just me. So anyway.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of speculation about NSYNC getting back together, and it didn't happen.
Yes.
And I know there's a lot of speculation about, you know, the original Techlandia crew getting back together.
They're just not getting back together.
Are you denying that right now? Are you denying that?
I would love for the original Techlandia crew. We had such a good, you know, it's hard because we were talking about, I was actually talking to one of my old co-hosts the other day, Allison Anderson, and I've moved literally within a 10-mile radius of her. I never see her or talk to her anymore. And it's sad, but you know what? It's not that we're both busy. We're doing different things. And so sometimes we had a good run on Techlandia, and I'm still trying to find the mojo back. And what? I feel like I've got the itch. Well, I mean, but you know, like Scott, like the real tech, this is just us crabbing about stuff, right? I love this show. This show is my favorite, obviously. We don't do any pre-work.
That's not true. That's not totally true.
We really don't. We
didn't even make a statement. True.
This is mostly true. So anyway, I mean, you know, I love coming on and talking with you and riffing, and I feel like we tell it like it is. It's a good one. I like, if I can get Brian out of his graduate classes, we'll talk about the Steam Team podcast. We're actually due to talk to Vicky Sedgwick a week from tomorrow about microbits, which she did at OCQ. Did you go to OCQ?
Oh, yeah. I was definitely at OCQ.
Okay, you weren't. So anyway, I didn't think you were. So anyway, so Vicky Sedgwick did some microbit talk. So we're going to have her on Steam Team. I've been dying to have Vicky Sedgwick forever. She's I love awesome. Vicky Sedgwick.
She's one person that's in there doing stuff.
She's doing stuff, right? Doing things, there's a lot, and there's not just one person. There's many people out there doing stuff. You're just not tweeting all the time about it because you're doing the stuff.
Go to Projects by Jen. Go to Projects by Jen.
Yeah. Jen Wagner's doing stuff.
You'll see Jen Wagner that has been doing awesome things and providing it. And by the way, John, being ripped off by people on Teachers Pay Teachers.
Yeah. Sad. Sad because people want a quick buck. But anyway, so we digress right now. But we are going to do the Steam Team. And on February 7th, we're going to try and start going at a consistent time. We've bantered around with Simon Miller being one of them. And we've bantered around with having a little David Terrio action and a little Greg Garner Classroom_Tech action. Might be the person that might be the three hosts, so you never know.
I love it. Three white guys, John. What
three, I know. I've told them that. I'm like, gosh darn it, the three white guy thing. But anyway, that's where we're standing right now. And you know, we had a good run with Amy Fidaje, but she's a parent now, and she'll now know what I've been suffering with my four children, which is lack of time. Yeah. So anyway, gosh, I saw a picture. I saw a picture of the baby. Did you see
Busy to be like a lead speaker down at Q.
Oh, really? Okay. Is she a lead speaker down at Q? Yeah,
featured speakers at Q.
Well, because she's administrator of the year that one year, right? She was administrator of the year. David Terrio.
Yeah, that's like a couple years ago.
Okay, it's a couple years. She's getting like she used to be like the young, spunky administrator that was making changes. Now she has a child. I think she might be slowing down a little bit. She's probably not the youngest administrator. She's probably like the seventh youngest administrator.
She is gonna punch you so hard, dude.
She plateaued and now she's on the way down. This is like they're like throwing her a bone at the end of the queue and saying, oh, you know what? You can be a featured speaker. It's okay. You're on your way down. We'll soften the blow a little bit. But anyway, so I saw a picture of the baby the other day. Oh my goodness, that baby is cute.
My kid is cute, man. That's
for sure. I don't usually like the, you know, I'm a very strict liker on my Instagrams, and I liked that one right away. That was a cute little picture of baby.
Yeah, it's super cute kid.
I know. Anyway, so we got to go, but Scott, thank you for taking the time to grump. You know, I needed this. I needed to clear the air.
Hey, John, I consider tonight more like therapy for you.
Thank you. Right. And thank you for being my online therapist. I appreciate it.
Of course.
And we will catch you on the flip side.